And we are back once again this Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us and spending part of your early Saturday with us. We've been discussing some of the issues regarding cash value life insurance, but it dawned on me that in the last segment, I really didn't do a very good job of explaining exactly what cash value life insurance is. So, Rob, why don't you give that a whirl and try to explain that for people?
Yeah, so that's any kind of policy that typically would build up value within it. So it could be a variable policy or a universal policy or a whole life policy.
Right. So any type of policy where it tries to double as an investment, I guess.
Right.
Right. So I know you have a list there of some popular life insurance myths. Why don't we kick one of those off and address it?
Sure. One life insurance myth that's floating around out there is that one needs to make sure that the insurance matches the need period, so that, for example, estate planning issues, they might need insurance that lasts for their whole life.
Right. We commonly hear, at least put forth by the insurance industry, is that people actually need insurance, life insurance, their whole lives, which we don't necessarily agree with. And many other people who don't have a horse in the race kind of disagree with that as well. So let's address it. The purpose of life insurance, first and foremost, is to create an artificial estate of sufficient size to ensure that one can discharge one's liabilities, like raising children or making mortgage payments, in the event of one's early demise. So in essence, if one gets cheated out of a lifetime worth of work where you can create your own estate through your own hard work, the life insurance kicks in and creates an artificial estate because you haven't had a fair shake at discharging your liabilities, right?
Right.
Okay. So the idea is that if you purchase life insurance when you're young, the relative likelihood of you dying at that time is pretty slight. So even though you might want to purchase $500,000 worth or $1 million worth of coverage, the fact of the matter that it's a slight probability that the insurance company would ever need to pay that claim means that the premium itself can be still quite low, right? But as you get older, the probability of dying rises and rises and rises, and the cost of insurance has to go up. So if you're thinking through this problem logically, you figure, well, you ought to be doing things in the earlier part of your life to actually create that wealth and that estate so that you might not have a need for insurance as you get older. Another thing is that if you die and you leave your spouse with a mortgage and some kids, eventually that mortgage would be paid off if you were alive paying your mortgage, and you would raise those children and they'd go through college and they would stop being little economic liabilities, and you wouldn't have the need to create an artificial estate to satisfy those liabilities because they would have been discharged already. So the whole premise that you need life insurance your whole life is really pretty circumspect, I think. What else do we have here in terms of myths, Rob?
So another myth would be that you can borrow on the cash value of your life insurance policy at competitive rates if the need arises.
Well, that is true. You can typically borrow from a life insurance policy at competitive rates or low rates, but it's not necessarily a good deal. Don't confuse the fact that your insurance policy stipulates in it that you can borrow at 3%, which is not necessarily such a good rate in today's environment, but in ordinary times that would be, let's say, a good rate. First, the loan that you take from that policy, if the insured were to die, that loan gets deducted. So if you take that loan, it comes out of the insurance proceeds. There's no free lunch there. Second, since the premiums for a typical cash value life insurance policy are higher than for term insurance, the money that you're borrowing really comes from the extra money that you put into the policy in the first place. So if you are looking at a term policy that costs $100 a year, and you're comparing that to, let's say, a whole life policy that where the premium is $1,000 a year, there's another $900 that's really not spoken for. If your cash value rises by $600, that $600 came from the $900. Where the other $300 went, in this example, it could have gone to insurance agent commissions or insurance company overhead. any number of things. But the fact of the matter is that extra money is your money. So once you reach that conclusion that the wherewithal to borrow the money is coming from the money that you put in the policy in the first place, the question is, why would you pay anything at all? If you just took that money and put it into a bank or even under your mattress, you wouldn't have to ask the insurance company for permission, which sometimes they make you wait 6 months or so. And you certainly wouldn't need to pay 2 or 3 or 4% or whatever the good deal happens to be. You just go to the teller and say, I want to take my money. And that's it. So I completely disagree with policies that you borrow against as being some kind of good deal.
Mm-hmm. Another common reason people give for buying life insurance is that the cash builds up within the policy on a tax-deferred basis.
Right. That is also true. The insurance companies will make a big deal of that in the glossy brochures. But those dividends might not always be tax-deferred. The reality is that the tax code regards life insurance dividends as a partial return of an initial overcharge. So have you ever wondered why your tax refund at the end of the year is not taxable? It's because you're getting your own money back. It's not a profit. It's nothing really that's coming to you from earnings or commercial profits. They're just handing you gave a tax, an interest-free loan to the government. So when you pay extra money in the form of a higher premium, and the insurance company gives some of it back to you, the Treasury, I believe, has made a ruling that says that is considered to be a partial refund of an initial overcharge. So not really the good deal that it seems to be. Another point that goes along with that is that if you own a cash value policy long enough, let's say a whole life policy, and it does pay dividends long enough so that you eventually do have a profit in that policy, guess what? It becomes taxable because it's just like any other dividend at that point. Okay, so really the tax-deferred or tax-free nature of insurance policies is not, in my view, represented totally accurately to the public. If you have any questions for us, feel free to give us a call at 232-2000 or visit our website at wesselinvestment.com. You can also check out the podcast on wwnc.com. I think you click on Listen and then scroll down to Podcasts. We've got some good things out there for you to listen to. My name is Glenn Wessel. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll be back in a moment.